Okay, guys, so I take it we're going ahead. We Pastor Pam? All right. Well, it is great to catch up. What an amazing thing technology is. I mean, who would have thought just even like 10 years ago this was even possible? We would have much preferred to have been there ourselves. We were supposed to be there in the flesh, live, but praise God that'll happen. I just want to encourage you guys, whilst I know it's discouraging and frustrating everything that's going on, that God is still in control. I think we can get distracted by what's going on sometimes, where we still need to focus on the fact we are of the kingdom, and that the Bible even talks about that. People say, is this it? Is this it? Jesus going to come back tomorrow or something? I believe we're in the season of his coming, but it says on that day people will be marrying and working as normal. We know this is not normal, so I believe we will come back to a normality. So I just want to encourage you. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we can get distracted by with what's going on now. And yes, we are to be wise. The Bible says that we're to know the seasons, that we are to be watchful servants and wise virgins. But I think that we must also not let the noise of everything that's going on distract us from who we are and what God's called us to do. None of this took God by surprise. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I never saw this lockdown happening. What are we going to do? But I thank God that in this season, if there's anything that I think has come out of it for me, is to really, really focus on being a person led of the Spirit. And I actually feel what I want to share to you, it's not even like a sermon, really. It's something the Lord really dealt with in my heart. I was praying about this season, and like, really, who would have thought that we'd be where we are? Like, if someone had got up 2 years ago and prophesied that this was going to happen, what we've seen in the world, even people that are very open to the prophetic, even maybe even conspiracy theorists sort of people would have thought, no, there's no way the whole world will be locked down. There's no way the churches will be closed. There's no, and imagine Aussies and Kiwis not being allowed to go to the footy. That definitely is a sign of the end times. It's not going to happen. So I really felt that if there was ever a time we need to learn how to be led of the Holy Ghost, led of the Spirit, supernatural people, it's now. Because even people like Christy has a business as a bookkeeper, has her own business, and clients that are titans of industry who are like, got no idea what to do. People that are in absolute top of the entertainment industry are like, our whole income's gone. It's like the whole world, really could have gone, well, we don't really need God. We're quite cool on our own. And now, like, looking, what do we do? How do we get out of this? And so if there was ever a time for the church to shine and say, well, we actually have an answer for this situation, it's now. So I was praying. Actually, we'll just open in prayer, because I really pray. I've got so much stuff stirring in my spirit that I don't want to have you guys here at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Yeah. A friend of mine once said, Peter, you preach as long as you like, but we're all going home in 45 minutes. So I don't want to be all lost preaching and that, oh, where did everybody go? So Father, I just thank you that the word that you have put in my heart for my Pursuit family, that Lord, you'll just guide the words that I say, they'll be what you want said, and that you'll make it all cohesive in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife just said a very loud amen. She knows what happens sometimes when I get excited about something, and it's like I've got bits and pieces that I'm grabbing for, and she's like, you said half a sentence here and a quarter of a sentence here. So I'm really believing this will come out cohesive. But when I was praying, I felt two words come to my spirit. and they were the words entwine and align. Now, I believe in the prophetic. I've moved, written prophetic songs, and so nothing like that's unusual to me. But usually, I'll be honest, it's not that flowery. I used to think there was something wrong with me when I'd have I'd watch Brother Hagin prophesy and it all perfectly rhymed, and like I could just never get my prophecies to rhyme, so I thought something was wrong. So, you know, thought that maybe I should read more Dr. Seuss before I prophesy or something, I don't know. But so I'm praying, God, entwine and align. And these words just, they really came strong. And so the first thing that obviously came to my heart was like, you know, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And this was the first part I could understand. So in Isaiah's just fallen out of my Bible. Here we go, Isaiah chapter 40, well-known scripture, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I love that. That to me, that talks of worship. The word wait is the Hebrew word quaver, which literally means entwining, like the cords of a rope. You have the strands and they're all wrapped around each other. And I feel if there was ever anything that is important in our lives right now, it's our worship and intimacy with the Lord. There's like, we can do things even with a Christian connotation and seem to get a certain amount of success, but there's something that happens when we worship. We literally entwine with God. And I love that terminology because it's not just like a chain. You see, a chain's only as strong as its weakest link. But in a rope, the strength is on the entwining of those fibers. So when I worship the Lord, when I'm worshiping God, I'm not just spending time with him. It's like his strength becomes my strength. And so all of a sudden, it's not just me. You know, doesn't the word say to worship in spirit and in truth? And I really believe the Lord is teaching us to be a people that through our lifestyle of worship. And that's what I just want to encourage you to. You see, we put worship in a box sometimes as something we do on Sundays or something we do in our personal devotion time. But Christy and I have been learning to entwine God in everything we do. I know I have to be very careful about, you know, some people in these lockdowns have been through terrible times. And so I'm sensitive to that. I'm sensitive to the fact that many people have lost jobs, have had financial difficulty, and I'm aware of that. And I'm not saying this to boast, but when the Lord started dealing with Christy and I about these things, and so we began to incorporate the Lord in everything we do. Now, that sounds like, well, we all do that, but we're talking even the stuff that we can naturally do on our own. Like I can, as a worship, just because I'm a guitarist, I've been a musician for, you know, I'm nearly 53 years old. I've had music as a part of my life as long as I can remember. So I can play music without God. I can sing a Christian song without God. And it's not that, the point I'm trying to make is that even in something that I feel comfortable and I feel strong, I want to look to his strength and not my own. And so Christy and I started doing that with our financial decisions. Like, who knows, the older you get, we can all go back and see opportunities that came our way. There's not one person that doesn't come to the end of their life and go, how many of us go, oh man, if I'd only invested in this when this happened, if I'd only bought this block of land when it was that cheap and didn't know it was going to quadruple in price, and you know, all sorts of stuff. And so Christy and I, when these opportunities came, we just began to entwine ourselves with the Lord. Just really, even though, especially Christy more than me, I'm the true creative. It's like, you know, it's lucky to remember to put my pants on sometimes, but she's very skilled. And so, but even with that, we go, well, Lord, we're going to trust your word on this. And so we had, without going into details, we had some opportunities and we both made a decision. We're just going to, we had these opportunities and we're just going to pray and we're just going to worship the Lord and we're going to trust that his word will be upon it. Now, in these situations, we had people of finance, accountants and everything that go, you're crazy. This is silly. This is, you know, especially with the pandemic and everything like that. Well, it turned out these were the best decisions we could ever made. Next minute, they're coming back thinking we're geniuses and, you know, we should have all done this and you should have done more. Now, I'd love to say that it was our incredible genius, but I look back now, it's because we decided not to lean on our own understanding in the situation. And to be honest, I find in my life, the hardest times to do that is in the things that we're good at. I'm really good at looking to God's strength in something that I'm really weak at. But there's some things that in a natural way, I've got some skill, I've got some ability, and I thank God for that, but I'm learning to still look inside and to entwine myself in worship to get God's word on that matter. You know, I don't just want to do something because it's something that I can do in my strength. It's like in this time more than ever, I believe we need to be a people that are drawing on the Lord's strength and not our own. And really, I'm going to tie all this in your, I'm going to talk about some stuff in a moment, the next part of that, so the entwine and align, that it's sort of nothing that I thought I'd ever be preaching, but I want you to realize there's an attack on worship. Now, you're a church that has a heart for worship. In our country, there are politicians, leading politicians, not our prime minister, thank the Lord, but leading politicians that want worship banned in churches because it spreads coronavirus. Now, seriously, you'd have to be thick as two short planks to not see the agenda of the devil in this. The devil hates worship. He hates when people come into his presence boldly to entwine with him, because he knows the power of what happens when we worship God. He knows that when we come together corporately and worship, it literally shakes the heavens. We, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. But when we worship, we take that authority back. And I think if there was ever a church or a group of people that understand this principle, I'm talking to them today. You've all not even sensed it in yourself when you come to church. Let's be real. Aussies, Kiwis, we're real. Like, we come to church and, oh, praise God, I'm so excited to be in church today. You're not always. Do we need to have an altar call for liars? Come on. I've been that way and I'm the worship leader. I'm like, oh, I wish I could have slept in this morning. Or, you know, I've had a worship lead in New Zealand, right, the day after the Bledisloe Cup, when my beautiful Kiwi brethren have been so encouraging about, well, at least you all made the field. So, I'm being silly, but the reality is in our flesh, we don't always want to, but something happens. How many of us have had testimony of a time where we're angry, we're tired, we've got a bad attitude, and they're our good points, and we start worshiping the Lord, and something changes. It literally changes. And I don't know how many times I've seen people come into church and testify to me at the end of the service that God did something significant in their life during that worship time. I've literally had people come to me and say, I was going to kill myself, but in worship today, the Lord touched my life and showed me that my life's not over. That's how powerful worship is. I've had people who have had literally the direction of their life dropped into their spirit while they're worshiping. Worship is essential for our life. And I pray that you guys as a church are praying, and we definitely are here. For the first time, I've heard pastors stand up and say, that's it. The line's been crossed. If they try and stop us worshiping, my prison ministry starts today. Like, they're literally understanding that that is how important worship is. So I want to encourage you in the thing, in your businesses, with your kids, with your marriage, with every part of your life, begin to entwine the Lord in it. Begin to take it before the Lord in worship and in his presence, and begin to draw from his strength and not your own, even if that's your area of strength. It blows my mind. I've seen people, like, let's be real. Catherine Kuhlman had one of the most powerful healing anointings the world has ever seen. She died sick. I've seen people with marriage ministries get divorced. I've seen, you know, just because we have a gift and a strength doesn't mean we don't need to ourselves draw from the Lord's presence. That we ourselves, and I thank God, really, churches, I love the resource that's available to the body of Christ. I love the fact that there's so much great teaching on how to build a great ministry, and we can be encouraged and learn from great men and women of God. But if ever there was a time that I believe churches need to get from the Lord himself, what are we called to do? What is this assignment that you have given us? And that might be multi-pronged, but, you know, not just do what the great churches are doing or what everyone else is doing, but Lord, what have you got for us? I believe the Lord has a plan. And in these times, more than ever, we need to be drawing from that. Now, the second part of this, the alignment. So I felt the Lord say, okay, I really need, this is a time for us to entwine with the Lord and worship and bring his presence into every one of those decisions, every one of those activities. My last instrumental album, I made sure that I had worship and communion and as a part of that. Now, I've been doing albums for over 20 years, but I just felt the Lord wanted me to really entwine him in that situation. But the alignment. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord was taking me on a journey through the book of Romans. Now, I've read Romans for years, and I'm just going to be very transparent. When you've been in the Lord a long time, you see a lot of stuff. Okay? And when I first got saved, it was pure grace. I didn't know anything. I think I've shared this with your church, that literally I thought tongues was people speaking Hebrew. I thought prophecy was just like, because these, you know, we're talking old school Pentecostal churches where people would just stand up and start speaking in a high falsetto voice and thus saith the Lord, verily, verily, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I thought, like, oh my gosh, everyone's expected to do this at certain times. What's going to happen when it's my turn? I literally nearly looked under my seat one day to see if there was a number and sort of thinking it was like, you know, like a RAF, like you're sitting there waiting for your order at McDonald's and 146, that's your order. It's like a number was going to come up and my seat had to prophesy. I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I thought chapters where this preacher, you must read three chapters a day if you're a Christian. So I thought the verses were chapters. So I'd read three lines of the Bible and think, man, I am super Christian. Look how much. Didn't know anything, but the Lord transformed my life. I had a foul mouth, like just could not say a sentence without blankety blank 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 in the middle of it. And that just fell away. I had this hunger to do the things of God that I'd never had before. You know, I gave up smoking. I couldn't give up smoking, couldn't, you know, for the life of me. And just all of a sudden, it just, all of this stuff just fell away. Addictions, everything just fell away in the presence of the Lord. But I'll be honest, after a while, some of this stuff started to creep back. Now, I understood it as I got proud and under the law. You know, where when I first came to the Lord, my whole focus and my whole worship and realization was on the blood of Jesus and what he'd done for me. I had nothing to boast of in myself. And, you know, so the grace of God was just changing my life. And then, you know, all of a sudden I was looking to how much I'd read, how much I'd prayed, how good I felt I was. And, you know, Paul says, if you're looking to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. So even though I wasn't doing bad stuff, I thought I was doing good because my strength was in myself. And so it was, you know, my worship was like all praise unto God and a little unto me. There is none like Pete. No, yeah, it's like, I'm not going to share the worship with anybody. It has to be all God. But now here's, I just want to be really authentic. I've seen people get a revelation of grace, or start to get a revelation of grace, is probably what I would say. Or I would even say more accurately, a doctrine of grace. And then they start doing stupid things. They stop giving. They stop coming to church. It was sad that I had a friend of mine say, who has really been impacted by the gospel and impacted by the message of grace. And he said to me, it's sad, but some of my strongest members are people that are literally got a little bit of the law that controls them. And I thought, now that's really sad. And you get people, they go, well, you got to have a little bit of, you know, they talk about balance. How many of you, we got to have balance. So, but what they're saying in balance is you got to have a little bit of grace and a little bit of law to keep us on the straight and narrow. So I really began, something in my spirit just knew that wasn't right, because I'd lived that, and it just brought frustration. It just brought a lot of ugly stuff. And so I began to, the Lord had me read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 every day. And to be honest, I'm still in that. I did it this morning. Christy and I had a little break for a few days. I did it. It's like the Lord's trying to get something into my spirit. And I saw that the Apostle Paul, now, if there was ever a guy, they even call the gospel of grace the Pauline revelation. How's that? That shows that this guy had a revelation of this stuff. And like, even think, one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews chapter 10. Now remember, he's talking to Hebrews, right? He's talking to people who live the law. He's talking to people that could not approach the holiest of holies themselves, but once a year, one person on behalf of the whole nation would go in on their behalf. And he did it with fear and trembling. They had a leg rope connected to him in case he did something and died. I mean, and Paul says to these people, your sins and lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Now boldly come to the throne of grace. That is a mind blow to a Hebrew person. We've lived our whole life for thousands of years, our culture going that one person that can come on our behalf. And now you're saying all of us can come. So this guy had a revelation of grace, right? But when I read, I saw he also had a revelation that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We are a three-part being. He says that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, says we sanctify you whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, I believe that this is not just random saying. I believe the Lord said this in order, that this is supposed to be a specific order, that our spirit is supposed to lead our soul, which will in turn lead our body. Sorry, my computer's doing something. Won't be a sec. There we go. We're back. And I honestly believe, you know, we live in a society which says, if you feel it, you are it. Like, let's even be real, and probably, and it's getting to the point where if I even say this from the pulpit in our country, I'm in danger of being arrested. That because the argument was years ago whether males should be attracted, you know, males can be attracted to males, you know, and that was like against what God made male to be connected to female. Now it's like you're not necessarily even connected to the plumbing that God gave you. I you know, so I'm just saying that I associate myself as a Bledisloe Cup winning nation. Doesn't matter. You lost. It's to be real. I can associate with whatever I want. Some things just are. And so we get into a place where identity is very powerful. And so the world's trying to tell you you're identified to your feelings or your flesh. Well, I tell you, if you do that, you're in a dangerous situation. And I believe the balance that Paul teaches is not a mixture of law and grace. It's just understanding to be led of our spirit and not let your flesh do whatever it wants to do. Let's just be real. Paul said some amazing things. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it said, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself would be disqualified." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "I have no confidence in my flesh." How many times have you heard someone fall into an area of sin and go, "I never ever thought it would go that far"? I have counseled people that have ended up in affairs and ruining their marriage, and they nearly always say, I never thought that it would get that way. You know what? I believe there was checks back, way back, but they just were so proud. Thought, "Oh no, I would never do that." Yet Paul's smart enough to go, "I'm not going to trust my flesh. I'm not going to even let myself get into a situation where that's a possibility." Because he understood that even the great man of God could do some things that he would later regret. You read it, but there's good news. There is good news, praise God. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 to 13 says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths of your feet so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." I believe Paul understood boundaries. I was having a conversation with my mate Ray here about that scripture, and we're both talking, and it's like, you know, it's like a plaster cast. When you break your hand or you've got a sprain or something, there is no healing properties in that cast at all. Zero. But what's it do? It protects from further damage. And so some of us with boundaries in life, my phone, I'm just going to be real and authentic. As a man, I have filters on my phone. There are certain websites there's stuff you can't look at on my phone. Why? Because I don't trust my flesh. Does that mean, Peter, that all the time you just feel so tempted to look at bad stuff on your phone? No, absolutely not. But I wanted there to be a bit of protection if I am having a bad day. See, and I believe that's in line with what Paul was saying. He understood that whilst, yeah, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, but if I just let my flesh do whatever it wants to do, I'm going to be in trouble. In fact, he even talked about being shipwrecked. And you see, you know, I began to go through the journey of Romans. And, you know, Romans 4 and 5 gives us this incredible revelation that because of the cross, we're the righteousness of God in Christ. That it's no longer our ability to be accepted by God. It's purely what Jesus did on the cross. And it says that if we receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, we'll reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says that where sin abounded, so grace superabounds. And I believe that, you know, the misbalance where I see people start to get a bit of revelation of understanding of boundaries is they go too far and all their faith is in the boundaries. That's like me having faith in a plaster cast to heal me. It's not going to heal me. So we need to have that. What heals you when you have the cast is the life-giving, healing forces in the body. And so my healing, if there's an area of weakness, some of us, you know, maybe are struggling with our temper. And who knows, you know, you don't just boom, explode. There's a little bit of a niggle. There's a little bit of an annoyance. We feed on that offense for a little bit longer. It grows and grows and grows and boom. So what do we need to learn from this? It's way back here somewhere is where we put that boundary and go, you know, I'm not going to feed my flesh in this area, and began to worship the Lord. You know, step back. The Lord spoke to me and says, step back from the cliff. In those areas that some of us are struggling with, we need, if you struggle with offense, don't spend your time talking about the things that offend you. You know, step back a little bit and maybe you need to put some protections and boundaries in. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it flow the issues of life. And I believe what happens is we need to make a choice in these moments. Are we going to be led of the Spirit or are we going to be led of our flesh? And all you got to do is read Galatians to know. Yeah, I'll just quickly go there. Galatians chapter 5, I think it's 5 and verse 17. Where are we? It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So again, Paul's saying, you know, if you let your flesh, you will go somewhere you don't want to go. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. And so we look at that and go, well, I'm not committing any of those. But read on, it says, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. This is Paul saying that, you know what, out of our flesh, sorry, that's just our son, out of our flesh can come some pretty ugly stuff. How many of us at times have been in a situation and maybe said something, you know, someone cuts past you in the traffic, and out of you comes a word that you will never find in the Bible. Don't look at me, and I can see all of your faces. Some of your halos are getting a little bit crooked. And you go, oh my, where did that come from? It didn't come from your spirit. Let me just tell you right now. Because your spirit's alive to the things of God. It's sealed for the day of redemption. It's been perfected. So even Paul understood. But then in 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't know about you. I want more of this in my life. To be honest, that's the stuff where people look and go, I can see Jesus is alive in you. I see something different. Imagine a church. Imagine a person who's emanating love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like, sometimes patience. Not my strongest suit, you know. Lord, give me patience. Right now, you know, it mightn't be your area of strength. But as we learn to connect to the Lord and associate and be led of our spirit, it says that's what will come out. I don't want jealousy. I don't want wrath. I don't want out. Do you understand? So I saw that in 4 and 5, this revelation of what grace changes, it makes us, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have this ability to come boldly into his presence, not based on how we're feeling, not based on whether we think we've done good or not, but purely on what Jesus has done. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul gets very authentic and he asks us to be real with ourselves. Like he says, well, at the end of chapter 6, he says, what fruit do you have in those things which you are now ashamed? Those things result in death. But now, having been set free from sins and become slaves of God. And I love that slaves of God, what he's talking about is we're slaves of righteousness. Because of Jesus, he's given us his forever righteousness that we're connected to him. We have fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. To me, when I read that, it reminds me of Isaiah 55, which is, you know, Isaiah 53 is the prophetic declaration of Jesus going to the cross. Isaiah 54 is the wonderful fruits of our righteousness. And in 55, he talks about, come, eat bread and drink wine that you don't pay for. Come and let your soul eat. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Let your soul delight in the richest of fare. And he's saying to us, you know, these things the world tells us is good and you know, the things that our flesh draws us to. If you've been saved long enough, you realize, what fruit do these things give? What fruit is there in me staying and living in offense? Literally, our flesh wants to get offended, but it's the old saying, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I've seen people, I had a word of knowledge when preaching a few weeks ago, and I just stopped in the middle of the sermon. I said, there's a person here who's a male, you've been hurt. And you can't let go because your sense of justice is waiting to see justice on that other person. And you just need to let go and just and receive, allow the forgiveness of God and the fruit of love to set you free in that situation. And this man just started breaking down in the middle of the sermon. Found out later, I was talking to him, he'd been through a divorce and he was really hurt by it. And he couldn't let go because as far as he could see, it's like the guilty party had got off scot-free. And it's like, so no, mate, you've got to let that go. And so what fruit do we get in these things of our flesh? The addictions of life, they don't bring any joy. And Paul says this amazing thing. This is the great apostle Paul, right? In Romans 7 verse 24 to 25, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he goes, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God and the flesh, the law of sin. So he's saying, look, my spirit, my heart wants to go after God. But you know what? My flesh, it wants to sometimes go another way. Now, the good news, it says is in Hebrews, that through constant use, that even our flesh can begin to, it says, discern between good and evil, that we can get to a place through our connection with the Lord where, and many of us are in those situations where the stuff that we used to love doing before we became alive to the things of God, now it's like, why on earth would I want to do that? I don't want to go out and do the stuff that I used to do because I've tasted something better. I'm going to tell my mate Ray, years ago I came and you guys have been like a family, and so I stay at the Watsons sometimes for prolonged periods, and Ray and Pam were on this fast. Now, I don't think any of you can have trouble believing that Pastor Ray enjoys his food. So I always used to love going there. Pastor Pam makes these amazing food and all that. And I get there, they're eating like tree bark and stuff. It was like, oh my, I can literally remember they had this cat. Woo, is Woo still alive? Is Woo gone home to be with cat heaven? I looked at Woo and thought, Woo, you look delicious. I mean, literally, Cole Stringer was due to preach at your guys' church not long after me, and I'm texting going, eat on the plane. Ray's lost his mind. He's not eating food. And I remember about the first couple of days, I was in agony. I'm just being real. I just was like, oh my gosh, just take me to a Macca's or something. And so after a couple of days, we were just eating because they were just like boiling vegetables or steaming them or something. It wasn't even like, to me, it was not hardly even cooked. No seasoning, no salt, nothing. And so I'm eating and I went, wow, this is what have you done with these vegetables? And I can't remember that Ray or Pam had said, we just cooked them. And they began to explain to me, because they obviously were right in this thing at the stage, that my taste buds didn't know what real food tastes like because of all of the preservatives and the seasonings and that, that so all of a sudden I was detoxed from all that rubbish and I was tasting food the way it actually tastes. And all of a sudden these vegetables tasted amazing. So we can get to a point where our flesh is detoxed from all the rubbish and the addictions of the world and goes, you know what, even you with your flesh, you want to worship God. You want, the Bible says that we can give our bodies as a living sacrifice, and I thank God for that. So let's going on. So the Apostle Paul has shared this. It's like, who's going to save me from this body that does, you know, he says in one part, he says, sometimes I don't do what I want to do, and what I don't want to do, I do. What do I do? And I love it. He says, thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, worship is a massive part of seeing us be able to be led of our spirit, to be able to connect to and see the fruit of the spirit grow in our lives. You know, I love the way it says fruit. Fruit grows. You can't make it happen. And to me, worship, you know, I'm not a gardener by any stretch of the imagination, but if you plant something in the right environment, everything you need for that growth is in the seed. When we're reading the Word of God, everything for our growth is in, the Bible talks about the seed as the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And all we need to do when we plant a seed is create the right environment, right? The right soil and water it. To me, worship creates the atmosphere where the seed will grow. And I believe that this is a time, you know, Christy and I have done worship soak services in rehabs where they basically just get the addicts to lie on the floor and we just worship because they're creating the atmosphere. They're feeding them the Word of God. They're feeding them godly counsel, and they recognize that they need the right atmosphere for that seed to grow. So for the seed to come out of my spirit, of the fruit of the spirit, I need to place it in the atmosphere where that seed can grow, and that's worship. Where we're constantly coming in and we're watering that seed. I read the Word of God, but I don't just read it like I'm reading a book. I worshipfully, it's like I'm going, Lord, you're speaking to me. You're speaking. And as I get a scripture, I just begin to praise God for it. I've said in your church, you know, turn the promises of God that you're reading in the Bible into your praise. Begin to thank God. So, if you're in financial difficulty, Father, I thank you. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Don't just, we got God. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, and we become like an auctioneer. Like I believe it, 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 I believe it. Just begin to worship, Father. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And you come into it and you entwine yourself with Him and say, begin to thank Him that Father, by your stripes I'm healed. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've set me free from a bad attitude, that you've set me free from offense, and begin to worship the Lord in that situation and begin to thank Him and turn that promise into praise. And I read when he said, remember the chapters and verses in the Bible were added by the translators later. They weren't in the original scriptures. So Paul's talking here, a wretched man that I am, who'll deliver me from this body of death. And the next scripture, Romans 8:1, says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I know some people will say, well, some of the older translations don't have that. But if you read on, it says, for the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, that the righteous, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he's saying it again. And I used to think, according to the flesh, bad Christian. According to the Spirit, good Christian. Where really, we, all of us, no matter which level of life we're in, how long we've been in the things of the Lord, have a decision whether we're going to follow the leading of our flesh or make a decision to live according to the Spirit. Whenever you're faced with a temptation, you do have a choice. I love in earlier in Romans chapter 6, he's talking about when you were without strength. And to me, that highlights we were without strength. Now we do have strength. So that even though my flesh will tell me at times that I'm weak, I'm not weak. In him, I'm strong. That I need to just make a decision in that moment, and it comes, I entwine myself in his presence and I begin to worship that. Even though my flesh might feel weak, as even though Paul would say, you know, sometimes my flesh wants to do dumb things, I thank God I walk according to what you say I am, not according to what my flesh says. Because my flesh says that I have no condemnation because I'm in Christ. My flesh says that, my spirit says that I can come boldly into the throne room of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. That I've been perfected in him, that I'm his son, that I'm his child. That in those situations, we need to make a decision. We need to align ourselves with what the word says that we are. You know, I'll go further on. It says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. You know, we'll be driving, and I love cars. Can't help it. And we also live on the ocean, so I love the surf, I love the beach. So I'll sometimes be looking while I'm driving, and Christy will see I'm steering towards what I'm looking at. Who's ever seen that? You steer towards your focus. So if we're focused on where we are, as in how we feel in our flesh, our whole lives are going to steer towards that. But if we're focused on, you know, even if I feel, I wake up with a bad attitude, even if I wake up, you know, not wanting to go to church, not wanting to give, not wanting to forgive, not wanting to walk in love, that I'm going to associate, no, the real me, love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. The real me is alive to the things of God and connected with him and has a relationship and a communion and a closeness with him. My life will steer towards that. It goes further on. It says, you know, in verse 7 of chapter 8, it says the carnal mind's an enmity against God. It goes further on. But it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's not here. And if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. So then in those moments of weakness, it's when we need to entwine ourselves with him and allow his strength to become our strength. You know, it says life, that's the Zoe life of God. The same life that rose Jesus from the dead is in us. But it's a matter, I look at it very simply sometimes. It's nearly like you've got two sources of power. And in you, in the middle, it's like the spirit and the flesh. We've read what each can bring. And we made the decision which one we're going to lead to. If we make a decision to be led by our spirit, our flesh eventually will follow. But it's not going to want to do it all by itself. You know, living according to the flesh doesn't necessarily just mean, you know, we hear about it, oh, the flesh, a fleshly, carnal Christian. And we think that means they're a really bad, horrible person doing these dark and disgusting things, but really it's just means we're just living our lives according to our natural feelings. I love the scripture. It says those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And when you read that, if you look up the word sons and do a word study, it talks about a son, like a descendant, with the inference of the DNA of the father is in the son. And so when we live a life of worship and connection with the Lord, when we focus on the finished work of the cross and what Jesus has done in our lives, it's like the DNA of God becomes apparent in our life. I don't know about you. I want the DNA of God. I want the to for people to see the life of Jesus flowing through my life. And I've learned after 35 years of being a Christian that I can't do that in my flesh. I can try as hard, I can discipline, I can do everything that I can, but it's only going to come as supernatural of the Lord when I connect with Him and I make a decision to align myself with what He says that I am. I want His DNA in my life. You know, I had this sad situation where, you know, a friend of mine, he pastors, he just not only pastors a great church, but he looks after a huge region of the AOG churches here in this country. And we were talking about this stuff, and he said his childhood was basically split in half. He said, the first half of my life, it's like I had the best dad you could ever have in your life, a man of God, a man that flowed in the fruit of God, a loving father, and a loving husband. And he said, but sadly, in ministry, my dad got offended. And sadly, he didn't make a decision in that offense. I don't believe he made a decision to be offended, but he made a decision not to do anything about the offense. You see, this stuff, Paul even said, the stuff of the flesh, it'll just happen. It's like you'll feel in your heart hardness, or you don't want to pray, or you don't want to read. And so that stuff can just come because of the world we live in, the broken world we live in. But he didn't make a decision to align himself with the Word in that situation, and by the strength of the Holy Ghost, be set free from that offense. And he said, literally, my dad changed till he became an abusive father. He became a unfaithful husband. It's like literally Jekyll and Hyde from this man of God, because when he had this attack on his flesh to be offended, the Bible says by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body. That in that moment, and it sounds easy, I'm not judging him, because I know that sometimes some people have been so hurt and wronged so badly that's when we need to totally entwine and go, God, I can't do this. That word, remember I said I had that word of, in that word of knowledge in the middle of my preaching, and to that man that was really hurt by his ex-wife, I said to him, you know, there's a line. The line is the decision when you make to align yourself with what the Word says and to, with God's help, forgive. Do you know, on this side of the line, and on that side of the line, you don't feel any different. But healing starts at the line. Healing starts when we go, you know what, even though I've been hurt, because Jesus loves me, and because I've received His unmerited favor and His grace, and because I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, and I choose to live according to what Your Word says, I forgive. Does that mean your feelings are going to change? Absolutely not. Do you think the first time a person decides that by the strength of God and the help of God, they're going to be set free from addiction, that all of the feelings of wanting and pull in that direction change? No, they don't. But healing starts at the line. Healing starts at that moment where you make a decision, I'm going to align myself with who God says I am. You know, the Bible talks about in James that a person who hears my word and doesn't do it is like a man who walks away from the mirror and forgets what he was. Like, I love the scripture in 3 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it is. It says, as beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into that same image as by the Spirit. One translation says, as we look to Him, we become like Him. And I was meditating on this verse, and the Lord said to me, what do you see when you look in the mirror? You see yourself. We've got to see the finished work of the cross in us. We've got to look into the mirror of God's word, and when we're offended and we see the supernatural love of God and go, you know what, this is what I really am. I'm not going to align myself with what I feel. I'm going to align myself with what God says. I'm going to see the glory of the Lord in a person who's connected with God, has the fruit of the Spirit in his life, has the fruit of a relationship with Jesus. Remember, it says that the apostles, it said we could see that they had been with Jesus. I want to be a person that can say, we can see that Peter Robertson has been with Jesus. We can see that fruit in his life. And so I just really believe that we need to start looking into the Word. And I honestly believe, but as a church, as we begin to entwine ourselves with him, this stuff we can't do on our own. But then we see the promises of God. And we align ourselves with those. We see this. This is who we really are. I want to speak to every one of you here. And you guys are all, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, the Bible says you are the accepted in the beloved. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are a joint heir with Jesus. You are the loved of God. In fact, I just love this whole thing. I could go into a whole, there's so much stuff in here, but I've run out of time, that I love in this whole thing. Now, remember, you read Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. He's talking about the one theme. I used to think, be honest, have you ever had like an old grandpa, who would like start talking about a story and then get distracted and then talk about something completely different and then maybe come back to that story later and you're like, what are we talking? And so I used to think Paul was talking about, would change subjects. Like one minute he's talking about his struggles in the flesh, and then the next minute he's talking about that the whole of creation waits and struggles for the liberation of the children of God. And I'm thinking, okay, he's changed subjects. What's he talking about? And he's talking about that. Actually, we'll have to go there. I have to go there. Sorry. I will bring this to a close. I see Pastor Ray's still awake, so he hasn't gone too far. I'm just going to get this up. I just love this. So Paul, one minute, you can tell he's talking about how to overcome the struggles of the flesh. It says, but in Romans 8, verse 18, says, "But I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." I don't believe he's changed subjects. Some of these sufferings are just the suffering sometimes we feel in our flesh, the draw or the pull away from the things of God, that Paul was very authentic in this scripture and talks about. In verse 23, it says, "Not only that, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body." How many of us have yearned at times for that area of weakness in our flesh to change? That area of short-temperedness, that lack of patience, that lack of ability to remain focused and on track on the things that God's called us to do. But I love in that, and he says, "But we were saved in this hope." You know, us coming into worship in the presence of God and expecting that there's going to be a supernatural effect on our flesh, the Bible says we're saved in this hope. You know, I looked up the word saved. That's the same word that Jesus used for the woman with the issue of blood when she touched his garment, and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." That us in our weakness, when we come into the presence of God with an expectation that we're going to see God's strength move in our lives, that makes us whole. And it reads further on, and I think in the next scripture he's talking about tongues. And again, I used to think, oh, he's changed subjects again. But he's real in those areas of weakness. That's when we have been given this wonderful gift of praying in the Holy Spirit, being able to recognize and get away from our flesh and connect in the things of God. You know, I find when I'm weakest, your flesh wants to draw away from God. Where the Lord is saying, when you're weak, run to God. Begin to praise him. Because I just go, my flesh is wanting to get angry. My flesh is wanting to be offended. My flesh is not wanting to do the things of God. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to entwine yourself with him. And that's what gives us the strength. But I just love the fact, if you read the end of Romans 8, and I'll bring it to a close. I know I've talked you guys' ears off all day. This is something I'm passionate about. But he ends this. He's done this whole dissertation, four or five chapters, six chapters, on living in the spirit and overcoming the weakness of the flesh. And he ends it with the revelation of who can separate us from the love of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? I see in this that the worship is the beginning and our worship is in the end. We just have to never, in any situation we're facing, separate us from the presence of God. That the Lord is speaking to us and drawing us close to him. Yeah, I see the pussycat. Oh, I just want to finish. We're going to take communion. And I want you to remember those two words that the Lord spoke to me. And I haven't, I think I've shared a fraction of this with one church. But I really felt to share this with the Pursuit family this morning. And they were the words entwine and align. That I really believe that the Lord is bringing supernatural transformation to our lives through our connection with him, our recognition that who we are is not based on our feelings or our natural emotions, that when we do face an area of weakness, that we make a decision to align ourselves with who what God says out. You know, I get greatly encouraged when I hear that the psalmist David, the great worshiper, had to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He had to speak to himself sometimes. You know, sometimes I've got to take Peter by the ear and say, "Mate, we need to have a chat. Your attitude sucks, all right?" And I've got to say, you know what? You know, I just want to lay hands on people. And I feel, no, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the decision I make. I'm aligning myself and then come into a place of worship and just begin to thank him. Entwine myself in his presence. And all of a sudden, his strength is my strength. And while, yes, I might not instantly feel a change in my feelings, as it says, by way of use, that scripture in Hebrews, their body has become to discern between good and evil. You know, we can't just all, we're gonna walk in the spirit on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're gonna listen to everything our flesh tells us, and that's gonna guide our lives. And then on Sunday, we'll walk in the spirit again. And we wonder why it's difficult. It's by constant use every day when we face those situations, those decisions. God, what am I gonna do? Begin to worship the Lord and thank God that his presence is there. Thank God that we have, I believe where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Where we face, the church is facing opposition more than we've ever seen before in our lives, that there is more grace than ever before. You know, the healing revival of the 50s came after the absolute devastation of World War II. And I think out of a pandemic, I honestly believe by the Spirit of God, we are going to see a greater manifestation of the healing anointing than we've ever seen before. In the body of Christ. I really believe that. And I'm leaning to that. Where we see the devil trying to shut us down, there is more grace for us to shine. But guys, it's going to happen when we do it his way. I thank God for his grace, but I thank God his ways work. He said, "I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life." And church, I want to speak to you that the days of pursuit, the best days, are yet to come. And as we take the emblems today, and if you've got your emblems, I just want you to take, get them ready. As we take these emblems, we thank God that the Bible says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And even in Corinthians, when it talks about if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. When you study that word judge, it talks about a separation and an alignment. It wasn't saying judge yourself as bad. It's saying, you know, make the decision. If you've got error, just make that alignment. See yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ. See yourself as the healed. See yourself as a person with the love of God and the ability of God and God's anointing and presence and power moving in your life. The first song we sung in that worship set, show me your glory, it's your presence, your power, your goodness. See that. That's who you are. Pursuit Church, that is who you are. So, Father, we just thank you that by your stripes we're healed, taking of the bread. And as we take the juice and the wine, we thank you, Father, that he who had no sin became sin so that we would be the righteousness of God in Christ. The Father, in every situation, whether we feel weak or whether we feel strong, that we can come boldly into your presence to receive of your mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, I just want to pray for my Pursuit family. I thank you that there is no distance in the Spirit. And I want to say that, you know, Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, "They which God has begun in you, he shall carry it on to completion." And he said, "I have confidence in this because I have you in my heart." I just want to say, Christy and I have you in our heart. We love you as a church. We consider you family. And I have to stand before the Lord and give an account for my words. I don't say that, Christy will. So I don't say that in churches. It's like this is, it's real with you guys. I believe God has brought us together in a covenant relationship. So as I'm praying, I have confidence that your best days are ahead. We have you in our heart. We love you. We really look forward to being with you in person. But Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for an increase of the presence of the Lord in Presence Church, pursuit of his presence. I just thank you, Father, when even online, Father, there's a sense of supernatural community. But Father, when the lockdowns stop and the church can come back together, Father, there will be such a manifestation of your glory. It's your presence, your power, your goodness manifesting their presence in a higher level than ever before, God. And Father, for every member, Father, that the supernatural blessing, anointing, yoke-destroying, burden-removing presence of God will be in every area of their lives. I pray for their finances. I pray for their families. I pray for their marriages. I speak clarity of vision in Jesus' name. I see there's someone, maybe more than one of you, there's been some confusion. I just see a clarity. And once you get that from the Lord, that doesn't mean that everything will instantly become easy, but grasp onto that. Some of you, I see that there's been prophetic words, and I feel the Lord saying this, prophetic words of times gone past that you've let go of. That I believe that it's nearly like when Joseph was in the prison, and he'd had the vision of his brothers bowing down to him. He could have easily let go of that and got bitter and thought that God had forgotten him, but he didn't. He never let go of that. And I just speak this. There's some of you here, you've had prophetic words over your life that you have let go of, that you've thought, well, that was too many years ago, God. And I really believe the Lord is wanting you to realign yourself with that word from the Lord. Realign yourself. You know, Christy and I, the older we get, it seems funny, the more influence we have with young people. We're aligning ourselves with the call of God. Some of these words that we are seeing come to fruition in our lives happened decades ago, but we're making a decision to align ourselves. So, Father, I just thank you for everyone here that has had prophetic words in the past. Some of you had words of financial breakthrough. Some of you have had words of ministry and influence, and that you've let go of them. The Lord is saying, realign yourself with those words. Start realigning yourself with the vision that God planted in your heart for this church. That people would come and truly, truly experience the presence and the glory of God. And Father, we just give you praise. I just thank you for everybody who, anybody who is suffering in an area of sickness, that Father, we just align our faith with theirs and we just speak healing in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pass back to you, pastors.